expecting 88 to 90, so another hot day. When it gets above 85, it's hot to me. And I don't know about Judge Burgess, if it's hot to him or not, but we're honored to have him in with us. Judge Burgess and County Commission Chairman, thank you for coming in and being with us.
Thank you, Jerry. It's always a privilege to come to Weiss Radio and sit down and talk with you and have a conversation.
Well, it's great to always our honor to have you in and to talk about things, because every time you come, you bring some good information for our listeners that they need to know, and we appreciate you doing that.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that, and we're going to talk about something today that you may not know.
That's exactly right.
And that's that we're going to have an election tomorrow. Did you know that?
I heard that in the grapevine somewhere. Somebody said, well, it's election day coming on May 19th.
That's right.
And we used to, in years gone by, and you being the election manager, you know this, but the primary was always in June. We called it the June primary.
That's right.
And now it's being held in May.
Kind of confusing.
Well, it's just different.
It is different.
A little earlier.
It is different.
That means the people had running for office had to qualify a little earlier,
mm-hmm.
and everything moves ahead a little bit.
Yeah, and we have those in March. It's really early.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about June. I remember those being in June, and I kind of wish that the primary would be in June because school is out. So it makes it a little easier. You know, this week we've got graduations going on, and people are hustling out there trying to get ready to for the kids to graduate, and just kind of busy. It's a busy week, you know.
Yes.
So in May, it makes it a little bit more strenuous, but we're going to make it through.
All right. Being a primary election, different from the general election, and the fact that we have different candidates on the ballots than what we'll have in the fall.
That's right.
So let's talk about that tomorrow. Who's on the ballot, what we're voting for, and what we're not voting for.
Okay, well, yeah, we're going to have, this is a primary election. Let me explain that right quick, if you don't mind.
Please.
This is the Democratic and the Republican primary. The Democratic and Republican primary, excuse me, I'll get it out in a minute. It is where the candidates from these particular parties have qualified, and they're going to be on the ballot, okay? We've had a lot of questions in the office about the primary. First of all, let me just say, just right off the bat while I'm thinking about it, that in a primary, obviously those people have qualified for those parties, so there's no write-ins in the primary. Write-in votes come in the general election in November. Same way with independents. You know, there won't be any independents. There's no independent ballot. There's nothing like that. If there's an independent candidate, they will qualify for the November election. So this is just the Democratic and the Republican primary. You'll notice that there is, on the ballot, there's really no county level offices. All those offices, you know, if you're talking about county commissioner or board of education member, coroner, sheriff, those type things, no one qualified against the incumbents. So there will be no county level offices on the ballot this time, but they will appear in the November election. The only thing, I guess, that you would consider local is the Senate race. So the Senate race will be on the ballot this time.
And that's for Senate District number 10.
That's correct. You want to get into just kind of the process, Jerry, of voting, or is there something else you wanted to talk about on the as far as it being a primary?
Being a primary, I think you've covered that. Let's get right into the process of voting.
All right.
Because that's everyone that goes to the ballot, I mean to the polls tomorrow to vote, will be affected by that. So
that is true.
And smooth that out.
All right, so first of all, let's remind ourselves that the polls open at 7 a.m. and they close at 7 p.m., okay? We don't get a dress rehearsal. You know, there's one day that we vote, so we hope everything works well, and at 7 o'clock is a lot of pressure on our poll workers at 7 o'clock because we're hoping everything works well when the day starts. And believe me, we know real quick when issues happen. Like last year, the last cycle that we had in the presidential, we had at the Rock, we started out, everything was okay, and then both of our machines that were at the Rock jammed. We had it figured out that it seemed like static electricity, you know, static, was causing the ballots not to drop in the box right, so it caused a jam. Well, we had a room full of people, and I just want to say thank you, and we apologize for that, but thank you for your patience till we could get a technician down there to straighten out the problem. So things like that are going to happen, but we hope that it goes smooth. And when things do happen like that, just be patient with us, and we'll get the problem straightened out. Because like I say, there's no dress rehearsal. It's almost like, you know, you're launching a spaceship and, you know, it's like 3, 2, 1 blast off and here we go. You know, we just have to adjust as things occur. So be patient with our poll workers when things like that happen.
Remember, when things occur, mm-hmm. it's not the poll workers' fault. They're there to assist you and to help you and make you have or help you have a good voting experience. They're there to work for you. Just
yes.
Be patient with them.
Yes, and while we're at it, let me just thank the poll workers. You know, these are dedicated members of our community, and there are people that just want to give back, and they're basically volunteering. I mean, they get a little money for working that day, which is set by the code, but they're there basically because they love their community, and they want to see the voting process take care, and we just love our poll workers. Think about it. They get there probably about 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're there to 7, 8 at night. So it is a long, long day for them, and we appreciate them.
12 hours, and so they're going to be there possibly an hour earlier and an hour later because the polls, after they close, you got a process to shut the machines down and get them ready to go to the courthouse and things of that nature. So that's a 14-hour day, either way you hack it.
That's right. So just try to remember that. If you're upset with society, or you're upset with a candidate, or you like this one or don't like that one, whatever the issue may be, don't take it out on the poll worker. They're just there to assist you voting.
That's exactly right. They're there to help you and to be a service to you, and they do a mighty good job.
All right. So, Jerry, you know, when you get there to vote, the first thing that you're going to be asked is they want to see your voter ID. That's Alabama law. That's standard. We should be used to that by now.
Yep.
Valid forms of ID. Most people use their Alabama driver's license, okay? And we have some folks that have moved over from Georgia and various states. They can use theirs as well. You can use a passport, a military ID, federal issued ID, a student ID. You know, those different types of IDs that are valid, you can use those when you come in to vote. I just want to remind the voters that if you look on your driver's license and you say, oh my goodness, I should have renewed that driver's license last month, it's expired. Well, fortunately, in Alabama, you have a 60-day grace period. So we look at that 60-day grace period, and if it's within that and the driver's license expired, your Alabama ID is valid. Okay? Not so much with the other states. They don't give that grace period. So if it's expired, it's not valid. So check, make sure your license is valid, Jerry, before you go to the poll to vote tomorrow.
And
right?
The key word is valid.
Valid.
Because if it's not valid or current in date or in grace period, you can't vote because the law says you have to have a valid ID.
All right. So let's back up and say what you just said. You can vote. However, if your ID is not valid, or if you forget your ID, you have to vote a provisional ballot.
Okay.
So you go over it, and it's just an extra process, and you have to go and put your information and all, and you vote a provisional ballot. In that provisional ballot, it actually goes to the Board of Registrars, and they check out the information and everything. When the canvassing board meets, if the Board of Registrars determine that voter is valid, then that vote's counted. That'd be the last box that's actually counted. And if you come in, let's say you come in and, oh, you just forgot your license, and so you have to vote provisional, You have until 4:30 on Friday of that week to go by the Board of Registrars office and show them your valid ID. Okay, so that's a very important fact to remember right there. And we do have, from time to time, people just forget their ID. And so that's the process that has to be done when you forget your voter ID. And after you give them your voter ID, they're going to, since this is a primary, the person that is checking you in, and we'll call it a check-in, okay? The person that checks you in is going to ask you which ballot that you want or what your preference is today, which way would you like to vote, Democratic or Republican. And you'll tell them, and then, of course, you'll have to sign, and they'll issue you a ballot. Once you get your ballot, you go over to the table, fill out the ballot, and take your ballot over to the DS-200 machine. That's the voter counting machine, okay? And you slide that in there, and hopefully that machine will work correctly. Whenever you put it in, and it won't jam. But from time to time, those things happen, and we get them corrected. And let me just say that it doesn't apply in this particular election, but just as a general rule, let's say in the general you're voting for a straight party, okay? But you decide in the general you want to vote for another person. You know, if you were to bubble in that one office, it will override and it'll count all your straight party candidates that you voted for, and then it overrides and it'll count that one where you have bubbled in. So it would be counted. But we'll talk about that more in November, okay?
Right.
And just remember that you are voting in your Democratic or your Republican ballot. Now, suppose you get one and you decide, you know, I just want to vote on the other race, or something happens, just take your ballot back up to the clerk that's sitting there at the table, and we'll spoil that ballot, and you'll have to check back in again because we've got to keep our count right.
Right.
You'll check back in again, and then they'll give you another ballot, okay? And you don't have to vote in every office. There's some confusion there because some people think, if I don't vote in every race that's on the ballot, my vote won't count. Well, that's not correct. If you leave an office open and say you don't know either of those candidates or whatever, and you just want to skip that one, that's fine. It's just an undervote. It's just, and sometimes the machine will say, hey, it'll stop you. Did you mean to leave that right? And you just cast ballot anyway, and everything will be fine. So there's a lot of confusion in there. There's a lot of people that tell me that they just, in some races, so that their other votes will count, they'll just vote for people that they don't know and they didn't really want to vote in there. That's not, you don't have to worry about that. If you just go in there and there's 20 offices and you just vote for one, that one office will count that you voted in. So after you've done that, hopefully you've gotten your sticker and you're free to go because you have voted and you've done your patriotic duty in voting.
Well, all the qualified electors out there that's going to go to the polls and vote, it seems from what you've discussed that the poll workers are there to make sure that they get to cast their ballot.
That's right. That's right. That's their job. They're there to assist the voters in any way.
Exactly.
And lots of times people don't understand, the voting process, but they'll guide you along. They're not going to tell you how to vote, but they'll guide you along. If you don't understand, just find one of the people that got a name tag. Just walk up and ask them, hey, I don't understand this. Can you help me? Am I supposed to, vote one way or the, or, what do I do here? After I bubble these in, what do I do? They'll assist you.
Whether they choose a Republican or a Democrat ballot, on both ballots should be some amendments.
There are actually two amendments this time. And let me just say that if you didn't want to vote Democratic or Republican, but you just wanted to vote on the amendments, when you go in, you'll just tell the clerk that you just want to vote on the amendments. And some people do that. And you get an amendment ballot. All right. So we'll actually have three. you'll have a Democratic, a Republican, and an amendment ballot, okay? So if you just want to vote on the amendments, you can. You're not declaring a party at that particular time. But let me say this. The amendments are on the Democratic ballot. The amendments are on the Republican ballot. And just an amendment ballot. You don't have to have two. You follow me? And we've had some confusion before in the past, Jerry, with people that have wanted to vote on amendments and vote on the ballot, but couldn't understand why I'm supposed to have an amendment ballot too. So those amendments are on the ballot. And Amendment 1, let me just say what it's about. It just says that proposing an amendment to Section 16 of the Constitution of Alabama of 2022 to provide for additional offenses that would allow a judge to deny bail under certain circumstances. Okay? That's the amendment. But if you want just kind of an explanation on it, you can go to the Secretary of State's website and look at it. But if you don't, let me just say that the judge now can deny bail to a person charged with the following crimes: capital murder, kidnapping in first degree, rape in first degree, and other types of crimes that have been committed. But if this particular amendment is approved, it would allow a judge to also deny bail to a person charged with solicitation, attempt, or conspiracy to commit murder. All right? And it would also allow a judge to deny bail to a person charged with shooting or discharging a firearm, explosive, or other weapon into an occupied dwelling, building, railroad, locomotive, car, aircraft, automobile, truck, or watercraft. So, if you would like for that to be the law and have the judge to deny bail in those circumstances, then vote yes. If you don't, then vote no. Pretty simple.
It just gives the judge a little bit more leeway to use the prevailing evidence out there to whether to deny bail or not.
Right, that's right.
Mitigating circumstances.
Right, so vote your opinion on that, whichever way you think that ought to be, and you're right, it does give the judge a little bit more leeway. On Amendment 2, this is calling for a situation where it's actually talking about the term of office for a district attorney, and it says proposing an amendment to Section 160 of the Constitution of Alabama 2022 to provide that compensation received by a district attorney may not be diminished during his or her term of office. Just let me just say that a district attorney's term is 6 years. Now, I don't know what all situations that they're referring to here, but let's say you're a district attorney and your salary is tied to another office, okay? And your term is 6 years. Well, someone else who that office is tied to, a new person may come into that office making less money, okay? And so what this is saying is that if your salary is tied to another office or something like that, you can't diminish that person's salary for that reason. Or if there's an omnibus vote or something like that, in other words, their salary can't be diminished during their term. And if you agree with that, vote yes. If you don't agree with that, just simply vote no. All right, let me point out, too, that, you know, because this is a primary, if you come in and you receive, say, if you get a Democratic ballot or you get a Republican ballot, there is no crossover voting in Alabama. So when it comes time for the runoff, how you voted in the primary is how you're supposed to vote in the runoff. All right? Very important there that you realize that, because remember we had the issue years ago with the crossover voting. So, but let me point out that if you get just the amendment ballot, then you're free to vote in either party in the runoff. Okay?
Right.
That just gives you kind of an idea of how it works there. I think most people know that, but just as form of clarification, need to understand that.
Absolutely. But remember, that's in the runoff election, if there is one, and
that's
it
correct.
Has nothing to do with the fall election.
That's correct. Nothing to do. Let me just say also that our voting machines, we actually have three. We have what is called, we call it our check-in machine. It's an express poll, and it's the electronic machine where you show your license, and it shows where you are. Make sure that you vote in your precinct, okay? Not so much in Cherokee County would it matter if you were out of precinct, because we only have one ballot for each race, but in other areas there may be 100 because of different school board districts and different congressional districts and so on. Sure. And so forth. But the law says that you have to vote in your precinct. So that's why it's important that you go to the precinct that you're supposed to vote in. That'll save a lot of headache. If you go to the wrong place, it can be upsetting. And our DS-200, I want to point out to our listeners or your listeners that our machines are not connected to other. In other words, if you check in, that DS-200 does not know who you are. It's just counting votes. It doesn't know how I voted.
Right.
Okay, it's not connected to that machine. Then we have another one that's called an express vote. Individuals that have particular handicaps can use this, or anyone can, and it's just a vote marking machine. So you put in a blank ballot, and you go through the race and mark which person that you want to vote for on the screen. You know, if you have trouble seeing, it will enlarge the letters for you. It has a pad for Braille if you read Braille. If you're having some difficulty and you want to put on the headphones, it will read it to you. It's a very good machine. And then it prints out the ballot, and you go and you put it in the DS-200 or the vote counting machine as well. So we do have those three machines. They are not connected to the internet, and they are not connected to each other.
And so everything should run smoothly.
I hope so, Jerry. I love your optimism.
And at the end of the day, then we'll get the returns. They'll be coming into the new courthouse. And I think you said it's going to be a new operation for you guys up there.
That's right.
Getting everything set up. And so people can come in if they want to and sit in the gallery.
Certainly.
In the courtroom?
Certainly they can. I think we're going to be in the district courtroom this time. But our returning officers will be returning the ballots to the new courthouse, and they'll be using the sally port out back to drop their ballots off. We're doing that. We're trying to get that process together. So at some point, you know, it's going to rain on us. So when we have that, you know, we won't have to worry about that. And we hope that that will make it a little bit easier for everybody involved in the accumulation of the votes.
All right, Judge, we're about out of time. Anything real quick you want to leave with our listeners before we go?
Yeah, I want to change gears in just a minute.
All
and
right.
Tell you how much that I appreciate you, Jerry Baker, and the job that you did in emceeing our event that we had uptown where we dedicated the courthouse to the citizens of Cherokee County. You did a phenomenal job. You're an icon in our community, and we just appreciate you so much. It was a special day, and you were just part of making that day special. So I want to thank you publicly for the job that you did and just tell you how much I appreciate you and allowing me even to come on this morning and talk to the citizens. A lot of communities don't have a local radio station, and we are very blessed in our county that we do to keep us informed on what's happening, the weather, everything that goes on. Jerry, you're an icon, and I just appreciate you so much for who you are and what you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. You're way too kind, and I just was honored to be a part of that special celebration, because those don't come along but once in a lifetime.
No, and Jerry, I hope the next group, when they build a new courthouse and you're still around, they get you to MC that program as well.
If I'm still around and able, I'd be honored to. Be my honor.
All right.
But thank you, Judge. I appreciate it. You're so kind. But we're just honored to serve the people of the area. And
thank
where
you.
Our coverage area is, where it's our privilege
that's
and honor
right.
to get to serve them. Just another form of public service, and we appreciate that
right.
opportunity. Thank you for coming in. And
thank you,
with
Jerry.
Us.
And just everybody remember, get out there and vote. People have fought and died for you to have that privilege to get out and vote. And we're just thankful for our community and all those that are working.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Remember, Memorial Day next Monday is all about the right to vote, because those people that paid the ultimate price for our freedoms did so you'll have that right to go to the polls and cast your ballot tomorrow in a free and open election.
That's right.